From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Thursday morning, November 14th, 2019, the Beating the Book podcast. It's Gil Alexander. It is the Megapod week number 11 in the National Football League. As always, the staples of the show, the Stars. From Circus Sports, Derek Stevens Consigliere. He is the Vice President of Operations. It is Michael Palm, everybody. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Gilbert. How are you?
I'm doing very well. You're looking good. We're all on video here, except for our guest. And I just want to say that our cohort is shirtless, and it's disturbing, is what it is. It's Todd Wishnev, everybody. Hello, Todd. Why no shirt?
You can only see my face, so why don't you just zip it already?
Okay. That's not what we saw before, and it wasn't pretty. Just want to say that. So this show is under protest. Just want to point that out. And our rotating guest of the day, he is back on the show. He is producer number one of a numbers game at VSiN, but you know him as one of the staples of, is it called Clear Data Sports still, Michael? Is that the name?
Yep, still Clear Data Sports.
Clear Data Sports. It's Michael Lamborn. Hello, Michael.
Good morning, Gil. Happy to be back.
Mikey, so good to hear from you. You been okay?
I've been doing well, yeah. I have this minimize the screen so I don't have to look at Todd here, but I'm listening in for sure.
Todd is now eating while
naked.
Wow. Eating while naked.
I don't even know the guy, and he takes up with the evil Gil and Mike Palm cartel to try to take me down. Thanks, Mike.
We're a cartel. Mm-hmm. Not like you've ever mistreated guests or anything, Todd, right? Never. Never at all. Let's begin with the Clear. People can't see the video, so it's not as funny. Clear Data Sports is, by the way, Michael, I should tell you, Michael Lamborn, Clear Data Sports, part of the reason why Marco and Ace are not here anymore. I never told this story publicly, but one of the reasons that Marco and those guys were upset with me is because they thought that I worked with you guys to try to poach one of their people from them. Ralph Michaels.
Oh, wow.
And I told them, I go, you do realize I don't work for Clear Data Sports. Those are just my buddies. I would have actually told them to stop trying to poach Ralph Michaels from you guys. Marco was like, oh, I guess we'll strike that one.
That's pretty juicy. I think you have an idea for a new podcast there, Gil. You could do like the backstory of the sports betting industry. I think that might be the best show of them all.
All right. We always start the show with a Circus Sports update. I was on drugs because of my ruptured Achilles, so I failed to even submit my Circus Sports picks last week. Mike, what's the update? Who's in the lead?
Well, Gil, I guess I should have prepared a little better for this, but I didn't have Todd to tell me the order of the show.
Oh, yeah. Good preparation, Mike.
I know. It's like you every Wednesday morning. I know this. The leader is actually higher than the leader at the Westgate. I found because, remember, the Westgate, the guy started out 27-3 and was like 2.5 games ahead of our leader.
Yeah.
That's 35.5, right, Mike?
Yeah, let's see here. We got overall. We have 36.5 is the lead. MJ Tade, 36.5. And then we have four entries, including CB Elite, that won the first quarter at 34.5, two games back.
Where are you, Todd? Oh, yeah.
I'm at 27.5. After my disaster 0-5 week, I went 3-2 last week.
Yeah, that's all it takes.
I'm at 27-22-1. All I got to do here is have a complete swipe of the board, and I'll probably win the whole thing.
You can still get the money, maybe. Perhaps.
Gil,
yes, sir.
Gil, in the third quarter, one entry halfway through at 9.5, and six entries at 9, and 15 entries at 8.5 right now.
So, what? No tens, in other words? No tens, you said?
No perfect tens for the first 2 weeks.
No perfect tens.
Is the December contest a 5-week contest?
Yes.
That's correct, Todd.
That is correct.
Interesting.
All right, let's begin with a Thursday night game, boys. Tonight, pretty good Thursday night game. AFC North clash between the Steelers and the Browns. The Browns are 3-point favorites. I guess 3 on guessing lines. Was 2.5 at the time. It has come to me at 3. Steelers defense, outstanding with Minkah Fitzpatrick back there. A turnover-producing machine. Offense, not so much, but Pittsburgh coming off their win against the Rams. Cleveland beating Buffalo, outlasting Buffalo, staving them off for a 19-16 win in that ball game. Minkah Fitzpatrick on the season now. Well, he returned a fumble in this past game against the Rams, 43 yards for a touchdown in the second quarter. Also had a game-sealing pick. 6 takeaways for Fitzpatrick, 5 picks, 1 fumble recovery in 7 games with the Steelers. Mike Lambord, we start with you. Anything on this game for you?
Yeah, I actually like this game quite a bit. Gil, you know a lot about our model. We built it 3 years ago, starting kind of with player grades from the bottom up and arriving at unit grades to assess the components of each team. And we put an overweighting. At the time, nobody was really talking about offensive and defensive line 3 or 4 years ago. Now it's a little bit more common in the media, but it's all about skill positions. So we overweighted the offensive and defensive line, and this is kind of a banner game for that. Cleveland has some really popular guys as off the quarterback skill positions. Pittsburgh has no-name skill positions, but pretty high-quality offensive and defensive line. So our model predictably lights Pittsburgh in this spot, favored by about a point, a little bit over a point. So that's going to be a play for me, Gil, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Would you say that's one of your best bets too, Mike?
I'm throwing it in there, Gil. I'm throwing it in there.
Okay, Pittsburgh. Mike all over it. Mike Lambourne. Mike Palm, anything tonight?
Yeah, let's get a good show on here, Todd, and have some disagreement early. I'm going to give you a best bet on the other side. I'm going to lay the 3 with Cleveland. Pittsburgh's padded all these wins all at home. If Brissett doesn't get hurt, they lose to the Colts. Miami dominated them in that first half of the game before that inexplicable blitz 8 that changed that whole game. A Goff incomplete pass is ruled a fumble that changed that game. Rudolph hasn't played a road game in weeks. And Hayden is gimpy. I like the Browns in this spot. I compare it to them playing Buffalo. This is like the same game all over again to me. They're playing against a quarterback that won't beat you through the air against a decent defensive team. Cleveland dominated that game between the tens. I mean, they've got to improve in the red zone or they're in big trouble. But they still got a shot. Look at their schedule the rest of the way out. It starts with beating Pittsburgh tonight. I'll lay 3 with the Browns.
Yeah, and let's not forget, the Browns scored just 3 points in that game against the Bills, despite 12 plays inside Buffalo's 3-yard line. Bills, in fact, stopped the Browns on 8 straight plays at the 1, the equivalent of 2 goal line stands in the first quarter. So that game should have been much worse than the final score indicated. Todd, is that a best bet for you, Mike, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Wow, best bets on Thursday. Todd?
This is not a best bet for me, but unfortunately I'm going to agree with the evil Mike Palm. And I'm going to agree with him because my model shows that the Pittsburgh Steelers, yeah. I designed my model by sitting in a smoky room and watching every effing game possible to watch. And that's a different type of model that so far AI hasn't figured out. But I will say this. The Pittsburgh Steelers are coming off a huge win against the Rams. Lucky, lucky, lucky. I mean, you're winning games without an offense, basically. The defense is playing great. Don't get me wrong. The defense is playing great. The one good thing that the Browns have for them, I mean, the Steelers have going for them is Kitchens is the coach of the Browns. Other than that, the Steelers are winning with smoke and mirrors, and it was all at home, like Mike just said. Mason Rudolph has not been on the road yet, except that 49ers game where he looked like a deer in headlights. So I'd be very nervous taking a Pittsburgh team that I think's been very lucky and playing over their head. Cleveland, I don't want them either because of Kitchens, but I would have to lean with Cleveland. I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, Mike Lamborn, I apologize for the rude welcome. I wasn't planning on this happening, but you know, I'm on the Browns too, and it is a best bet for me. I'm making it a best bet. You know, that play in that game, in that Pittsburgh Rams game too, the fumble that was called on Jared Goff, that Fitzpatrick.
It was not a fumble.
It was not a fumble. It was not a fumble. And it drives me crazy. By the way, I don't think the announcers made enough of it. It was second quarter of that game. It was 3rd and 7 at the Rams' 41-yard line, 1:56 left in the half. I believe the score was 7-7 at the time. And that's when the whole game changed. I'm going Cleveland in this ball game. I do get it that I'm putting a best bet on Freddie Kitchens. But damn it, call me crazy. I'm going to do it. Freddie Kitchens and the Browns are my best bet. Number one.
By the way, that was one of the most curious fumble calls that I've seen, because usually if there's even a hint of the hand moving forward, even a little teeny, teeny, weeny, weeny hint of the hand going forward, they call it incomplete, and shockingly, they didn't.
You know, there were other similar plays in football that day that were just like that, that were called the other way. But I think we've gotten to the point with NFL officiating, and we've all talked about it till we're blue in the face, all these calls, the layers of then challenges and non-challenges, and we've talked about that. I think the layer we haven't talked about is now we've gotten to the point that everything's so confusing that when you talk about these games on Monday, so when I went into a numbers game on Monday morning and I was outraged about that play, producer number 5, Jeff Parlay, he said to me, he goes, I think you're wrong about it. I think it was a fumble because it was open hand. And I'm like, wait a minute now, you're so confused at the rules. Like they've it up so much that we don't even know what the rules are. Like, you think it was a fumble.
I would say you could almost shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and maybe get away with it.
Maybe. I lost my earphone. Excuse me.
All right, Gil, it's a bet then. Pittsburgh-Cleveland, Momofuku dinner bet, not just the lunch menu.
What's that now? Say again?
It's a bet. Pittsburgh-Cleveland, you and I, Momofuku dinner bet, not just the lunch menu.
Momofuku dinner. You got it. I'm giving you 3. Momofuku dinner bet. Me and Michael Lamborn. All right, let's do our first best bets then. Michael's already got his, Mike Lamborn, that is. He is on Pittsburgh. Mike Palm and I both on Cleveland as our first best bet. Todd, what is your first best bet?
My first best bet is the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. That's right, your New York Sam Mono Jets. And here's why I like them. One word, Haskins. Haskins is not ready to be a quarterback. Let's all be honest. If this was Case Keenum, I don't want any part of it. But because it's Clem Haskins, I know that's not his first name, but I call him Clem.
Yeah.
Clem Haskins is not ready to be a quarterback. So I am going to go with the Jets. If it was Keenum, I'd lay it off. But because it's Haskins, give me the Jets. I know the Jets stink. The Washington Redskins with Haskins stink worse. Give me the Jets.
Yeah, I can't argue with it, and I don't think it requires any more explanation. Jets held the Giants to 23 yards rushing last week, 20 of those 23 from Daniel Jones himself. Saquon Barkley, 13 carries, 1 yard. Take away the Redskins running game with Darius Geis and Adrian Peterson, and you put the game into Dwayne Haskins' hands. Uh-oh. Jets, Todd's first best bet.
By the way, am I getting +1 or 1.5 on that?
You are getting +1.5, sir.
Beautiful.
That is the consensus. Mike Lamborn.
I don't want Mike Palm later saying that I'm trying to chintz him out of points.
Chintz.
You know how he loves to do that routinely.
I would use a different word, but anyhow, go ahead.
Michael Lamborn, pick number 2, sir.
So you know we've been dabbling with live betting in-game wagers for a couple of years now. This is really the first year that we're going almost exclusively to in-game wagering for our plays. So we have the model to kind of guide what we're looking for ahead of time in these games based on the components of each team. And we kind of know that the pregame spreads are pretty tight. You can still find some edges, but I think in-game is a really good opportunity now. There's just so many different time and state and game score situations that can pop up. And just if you look at a few different books while you're watching a game and the differences that they have for that in-game spread and total during different times of that game is kind of evidence that there is a pretty good edge to be had in this market. So all of our members, all of our subscribers looking at pre-game plays, or sorry, in-game plays right now. And I've got my eye on the Buffalo-Miami game. This is one where if Buffalo takes the lead, our model says that the teams are constructed to, we could see a slowdown in scoring in that situation. If Buffalo takes the lead going up against that Miami passing offense, which we have rated at 14% below average, below an average passing offense, up against a good Buffalo pass defense, and then also Buffalo's ability to run the ball, perhaps run the ball, run some clock out against that Miami poor run defense at 14% below average. So I'll be looking at if Buffalo takes a lead in that game. And there's a couple of different things that we look at in that situation. But if Buffalo takes a lead, maybe let's say 7 to 10 points, going to look for the in-game under in that situation.
Okay, so a in-game bet as a best bet. I don't know if we allow that, but we'll allow
it. Wait, here's the thing. First of all, Mr. Lombard is preaching to the choir.
It's
with
Lamborn.
Us we love...
It's Lamborn.
What is it?
It's Lamborn.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mr. Lamborn is preaching to the choir because it sounds like you just took that right off a numbers game. We love the in-game betting. We love it, and we agree with you 1,000% on that, Mike. But here on this Megapod, Gil, we have to pick three games with no in-game because it's pre-games.
We got to do pre-flop. So, you just want to take the under then in that game, Mike?
I'll just go ahead and do that, yep.
Okay, that was an easy sell. The under. And what do we have for the under there, consensus, Todd? What are you saying?
41?
The under in the Buffalo-Miami game, but understanding what Mike is saying, looking for...
41?
41, yes.
Okay. By the way, I mean, I could give you the three-team 10-point teaser, too, but unfortunately, we can't do this on this particular outlet, Mike. But I couldn't agree with it. By the way, when he started saying that stuff, Gil, I was like, wow, this guy knows his crap.
Yeah. Todd is a stickler for the rules, Mike. I apologize for that. But
Mike, you're so right about how the lines are different at different in-game books and how the in-game is just so much better. I almost never make a preflop bet.
Yeah. We're all about the live wagering. Mike Palm, you're number two?
I agree with Todd Wishnev on the Jets play plus one, but I'm not going to copy that play. Instead, I'm going to take the under in that game.
Oh.
38.5 is what I'm seeing. Todd, what are you going to give it to me at? 36?
Because you're a nice guy, 36.5. No, seriously. Under 38.5, Gil, is that what you have?
That is what I have, sir. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to combine the fact of Haskins and his limited ability to perform in the National Football League or to have any part of the playbook, combined with Bill Callahan's desire to end game in under 2 hours and 35 minutes, and a not porous Washington defense going against the inconsistent Sam Darnold. I just don't think there'll be a lot of points. I agree with Todd. I'd take anything if the Jets are getting points, and I will, but that's not a best bet. The best bet is the under here.
All right, I'm going to Michael Lamborn's game, the game that he has the under in, and I'm just taking the Miami Dolphins. This is literally the only thing I get right every single week in the National Football League. Is just taking the Dolphins. I think the market is, you know, chronically underrating them, and I think they've done it here again against the Bills. They're at home, the Dolphins are. You're giving me 6 points, which is what the consensus is, I believe, right now. Todd, you tell me if I'm wrong. I believe 6 points is what it is.
I think you're right on the six. I think you're right.
Yeah, and again, why is Josh Allen favored by that many points on the road? I don't have an explanation for it. Last week, no touchdown passes from Josh Allen again. One pick. He was sacked once. He was 22 of 41 for 266. But he did his damage with his legs. 6 carries, 28 yards. I just don't think it's sustainable in the National Football League. Sure, could the Bills win? Absolutely. But giving six or getting six for the Dolphins, I'll take it. And 6 points again. What is the justification for this? I guessed lower than that. I believe I guessed 3.5 on guessing lines. 3.5 or 4.5, something like that. Give me value. I'll take it. Miami Dolphins, pick number two.
Hey, Gil, when they played before, the score was a 10-point win by Buffalo, but it was totally misleading because Miami was up 14-9 with the ball on the 2-yard line to go up 21-9.
That's right.
So I just give you more fuel for the fodder, and that was on the road. Now you're going into that incredibly difficult home field advantage above Miami. No, I'm just kidding about that, but seriously, that's just more fuel for the fodder for you. Here's who I would like to take. I am going to go back to the well with the tried and true of every single week in the National Football League. And that I've been pounding the drums on Megapod. I've been pounding the drums on a numbers game. Mike is moving his head back and forth, bobbing it. But I will say this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneer over is the way to go, baby, because they go over every week. Why do they go over every week? Because they're not interested in defense. They have no interest in playing defense. They also have explosive offense with Michael Evans catching every ball out of the sky. They also have the possibility for lots of volatility with Mr. Jameis, can fumble on every play. He can give you a pick six on every play. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are an over-lover's dream. The first two times these teams played in New Orleans, it was 31-24. That equals 55, I believe. And now it's only at 49.5. Now, granted, I could get screwed here if New Orleans plays a great game on defense and somehow it goes under because they win 34-10 or something. That could happen. But you know what? Prove it to me first. Tampa Bay goes over every week. You're getting it for what, 49.5 or 50? What do you have, Gil?
I have it at 50.
50. Okay, so give it to me over 50, and I get there 34-17. Or some such score that adds up to over 50. Thank you.
We could literally play back the me picking Miami, you taking a Tampa Bay over on a loop every week on this show. And why
but
not?
But they both first.
Right. Why not? Why make it more difficult?
Last week, same thing.
Jameis, 30 of 48 last week, 358 yards, one touchdown, two picks, sacked four times. But then, you know, he drove 92 yards for the winning touchdown after Jamel Dean redeemed himself from a terrible performance the previous week. He allowed several big plays during the overtime loss to Seattle, 40-34, ending Kyler Murray's rookie streak of 211 consecutive pass attempts with a pick. Without a pick, I should say, he picks it off, and then Jameis and the Bucks matriculate and beat the Cardinals 30-27, overcoming the 27-23 lead. And you're right about Mike Evans, 4 of 82 just every week, getting the stat sheet going. But Jameis Winston, his interceptions in that game, 13 turnovers now in the past four games for Jameis. So, yeah, you'll get points. You'll get set up for points on the other side of the field every time with Jameis, that's for sure.
By the way, there was also a touchdown that should have been a touchdown that wasn't one. When Arizona was inside the 10-yard line on 4th-and-1, they threw it to a wide-open tight end who could have just walked into the end zone, and he dropped the ball. So it could have been even more points.
Michael Lamborn, pick number 3.
All right, you guys are not going to like this one either, but I'm going back to another in-game selection. I would rather win, have a good shot at winning, than kind of go with the flow and stick with the conventional bets. That's just me personally. But looking at Jacksonville, Indy in particular, if Jacksonville takes the lead, we've got their defense at 9% advantage in that matchup going against the Indy passing offense. Both run defenses should not do that well, so we could see a running clock in that matchup, but I'll be looking at an in-game under. For your rules, we can take the overall game under, but I'll be looking for an in-game under on Jacksonville if they take the lead.
See, this is why Michael Lamborn got fired at VSiN, because exactly. He refuses to do anything that anyone tells him to do. He refuses.
No, we're agreeing with him, by the way. We're agreeing with his theory.
Yes. No, I'm just telling you. This is Michael Lamborn. This is vintage Michael Lamborn. Mikey, I miss you.
I'm in too, Gil. More than theory, Todd, but we could put into practice too.
Well, Jacksonville, Indy, what's the under? 43.5?
That's what I see, yeah, 43.5.
Let's see here. Oh, we can't trust you, Michael Lamborn. Yeah, I see 43.5. He's absolutely right. Everywhere. All right. Mike Palm.
Well, I agree with Mike's second pick, and I'll go to the game you chose as well. I like this game in Miami under. We saw in the first matchup in Orchard Park, Miami had the ability to run the football and had several long drives that they sustained by being able to control the line of scrimmage. I just don't trust Allen with his arm. He's not consistent enough. I mean, he can beat you with his legs, but I don't think he can beat you with his arm. I'll go under the 41 there as well.
Okay. We'll double up on that one. My final pick of the week. I am going with the Kansas City Omaha Chiefs in Mexico City, giving 3.5. I'm taking the Chiefs, giving 3.5 at Estadio Azteca in Mexico City against the Charge. Chargers on extra rest here. Chargers coming off that horrific loss to the Raiders in which they were down 2 points. Final drive of the game, had 3 timeouts. All they had to do was matriculate deliberately, but nope. Phillip Rivers just decided to throw wounded ducks every single down. thinking that was the way to get 3 points, and the Chargers lose another miserable game. This is why Philip Rivers, by the way, is one of the all-time very goods and will never be one of the all-time greats. Though perhaps he's a Hall of Famer. I don't know. Chiefs last
week. No way, Jose.
I'm just telling you, if you look at the stats, he may get in on stats alone. That's all I'm saying. I don't fit. Now, is there anything with my eyes that tells me he's a Hall of Famer? No. But longevity, it's like a baseball. It's like Craig Biggio. Should he be in the fucking Hall of Fame? No. He played fucking 5,000 years.
Don Sutton.
Exactly. All right. Now, the reason with I'm going with the Chiefs here is there's nothing about that Chiefs loss to the Titans last week that takes me off of the Chiefs. If you look at the box score of that game, and Todd and I talked a little bit about this on a numbers game today, they dominated that game. Absolutely dominated it. Yes, they did not cover. They did not win. But they were in position to cover that. They had the snafus at the end. Ryan Tannehill, by the way, threw a 23-yard touchdown to Adam Humphries with 23 seconds left. Joshua Kalu blocked a last-second field goal attempt to beat the Chiefs 35-32. Titans only had a chance after a bad snap by the Chiefs on Harrison Butker's 5th field goal attempt of the day. Kansas City coach Andy Reid blaming communication for the snap, taking holder Dustin Colquitt by surprise. So there were two botches on field goals by the Chiefs in that game, but they just absolutely crushed in the box score. I was saying, historically speaking, box score domination like the one we saw in that game, literally there's about 260 examples of that since the year 1992. Teams have lost that kind of box score domination. There's different categories, total yards, first down domination. There's a couple other categories. Once in 260 previous such situations. So they should have won the game, period. Whether they should have covered or not, okay, coin flippy. But there's nothing about their performance in that game that makes me down on them. I do think Andy Reid does some dumb shit. Like at the end of the first half, he's running a play for no reason, risking a fumble. Like I don't get why he does stuff like that. But all that said, I have no faith in Anthony Lynn. I think Andy Reid is the far better coach in this game. And again, we talk about if you only had one thing to handicap games on, handicap the coaches. I'll take KC giving 3.5 at Mexico City. Pick number 3. Todd?
I don't like it because if you're up 10 late, you're going to lose.
Well, you know what? I don't like you, so we're even. How about that?
Yeah, but here's the difference between me and you not liking me and me not liking your pick.
Yes.
One is you're going to get a backdoor touchdown. If you don't like me, you're not going to get a backdoor touchdown. So right. It doesn't matter.
If I don't get a backdoor touchdown, dinner on you at Momofuku.
I don't know where that is, and I did not agree to that. Thank you.
Okay.
Now, my last pick is going to be the New England Patriots against the Philadelphia Eagles Fly over the total of 44.5 or 45. What do you have for me, Gil? 44.5 or 45?
45.
Okay. So I'm going to go over in New England and the Philadelphia Eagles, and here's why. New England made all these gaudy numbers on defense against teams that have no offense. So their numbers are better than their really true ability. And we saw that against the Ravens last week. They went up against a team that actually could move the football. And all of a sudden, the New England Patriots defense looks a lot more pedestrian than it does when they're beating the likes of the Jets and the Dolphins and all these garbage teams that they usually play against. So we haven't really seen New England against a team that can move the ball. And when we have seen it, New England was getting their butts spanked. So I think the Philadelphia Eagles, led by Carson Wentz in their home stadium, will be able to move the football in New England. Conversely, the Philadelphia Eagles don't play defense. They're like Tampa Bay. They're not interested in tackling. And New England will figure out a way to move the football with Bill Belichick against the Eagles' ridiculous defense, and 45 is just way too low. Give me over 45.
Over it is. 45 for Todd Wishnet, pick number 3. All right, gentlemen, now my favorite time of the show. Support for today's Beating the Book podcast comes, as always, from our friends at Bookmaker.eu. At Bookmaker.eu is an industry leader for close to 30 years. You should know that by now. Pro players consider them a must because they're first to post odds, they take the highest limits, and most importantly, pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player. That is huge in this day and age. Bookmaker's a high-volume sportsbook best suited for not only the sophisticated player who understands sports betting, but also to large recreational players as well. And their motto is where the lines originate, because chances are the sportsbook at which you've been betting all along follows their lines. And right now, if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL, you can claim an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. Once again, that's bookmaker.eu/gill, G-I-L-L, to join and claim your welcome bonus of up to $300 right now. Don't miss out. Teaser time! Last week, for the first time, I went away from a Stanford Wong teaser, and I probably shouldn't have done that, and I lost. But while you can make fun of me for my horrific teaser record this year, 1-9 on two teamers of 6 points, I don't even accept the blame, because all I've done is Stanford Wong teasers. So blame Stanford Wong. Don't blame me. That's my excuse. But let's start with Mike Lamborn. Do you have a two-teamer, 6-point teaser here, Mike?
I do. I'm going to throw Pittsburgh in there. I like them with the best bet anyway. And then Jacksonville as well, both at 3, so we can get across 3, 4, and 7. The model likes both of those teams anyway, so that was a pretty easy one for me.
Yeah, we said on Guessing Lines that Pittsburgh would be the most popular teaser leg of the week. Todd, what were you saying?
So you're giving him Pittsburgh plus 9, Jags plus 9?
That is correct. Pittsburgh plus 9, Jags plus 9. Michael Palm?
I'm going to take Todd's J-E-T-S, Jets, up to 7.5. And then, like Mike, I'm going to take a swing with Big Dick Nick and go up to 9 with
Big Dick Nick. Nick Foles getting the starting nod. Eligible to play after being on IR. Eligible to play for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Gardner Minshew ends up 4-4 straight up, by the way. My teaser is the Jets, because again, through the 3 and the 7, how the f*** can that lose? Seriously. if that loses, then you know it's me. How about that? We'll just put it that way. And I am going to pair them with the... You ready for this? I'm pairing them with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Plus 9.5?
Plus 9.5. Give me the Eagles at home against the Patriots.
Do you want to talk about why you like that, or you just want to let it go?
I think if you're giving me the Eagles at home against the Patriots, I don't think the Patriots... Listen, I had Aaron Schatz on a numbers game this week. And we talked... You were there, Todd. And we talked about the fact that the Patriots, by his numbers, are historically one of the 6 or 7 greatest defenses through 9 games since the year 1985, which is as far back as he goes with his numbers. I asked him, is this schedule adjusted? He goes, yes, it is, because if it wasn't, the Eagles, the Patriots by far this year would have the greatest defense ever through the first 9 games. But as Todd, as you and I discussed, they haven't played anybody, and I know it's schedule adjusted, and I know these are the numbers that he came up with DVOA, and I love Aaron Schatz. But these guys haven't played anybody. And if you don't think that Carson Wentz and the Eagles don't smell blood now in the NFC East with the Cowboys faltering. By the way, Cowboys, we don't know if they're facing Matthew Stafford or not in their game against Detroit. You're giving me a 9.5-point cushion in this Super Bowl revenge game from a couple years ago. Carson Wentz and the Eagles against a Patriots offense that is not scaring anyone. I think the Eagles could win this game outright. That's how strongly I feel about it.
Gil, I'm sorry, Todd. Circa did put a number up on the Cowboys game, not knowing.
What do you got?
We posted a number yesterday afternoon. We posted a Cowboys 6. It's been bet down to 4.5. Just for those out there listening, as a point of interest.
Yeah, that is interesting. By the way, one of the other things we talked about with Aaron Schatz is this notion. Aaron Schatz is doing this study on trying to predict future interceptions. And the team that came up as, and how he does this is, you know, I talked about Triple Crown. Those who listened to the Beating the Book podcast for many years and a numbers game and betting dork before Beating the Book know that when I talked about Triple Crown races, for all these years that we didn't have a Triple Crown winner in between Affirmed and American Pharoah, all those 30-plus years, I always used to bet on a horse will win the Triple Crown. It was great odds, and people thought I was crazy. And I always said, there's been so many near misses, and it's just like home runs in baseball. The better predictor of home runs is a fly ball rate, not actual home runs hit. The better predictor of goals scored is shots on goal, not goals scored. Aaron has tried something now in football. Passes defended, a better predictor of future interceptions than interceptions themselves. And what he's found is that the Patriots are way off the charts in terms of them being able to pick off the ball thus far this year. That should tank. I don't see them picking off Carson Wentz here in this game. That's another reason why I like the Eagles. Give me the 9.5. Again, not picking them to win it, even though I can see it happening. But for the teaser, Jets, Eagles. Todd?
Give me the Jets. I've already discussed why I like the Jets versus Clem Haskins. So I will take the Jets plus 7.5. And I'm going to go with your Bill O'Brien Houston Texans. Now, do I get 10.5 or do I get 10, Gil?
You get 10.5. Wait, hold on.
Okay.
It is dead even. You can take the 10.5.
Okay. I especially like it if I get the 10.5 because then I get to go over the key number of 10 as well.
Yep.
So give me the Jets and give me the Texans plus 10.5. This Texan game, it looks like to me a preview of a playoff game. Ravens-Texans. I love Deshaun Watson. It smells to me like a really tight ball game. I like going against a Ravens team that just, you know, came, 2 weeks ago came off the big Patriot win. I just like the Texans here. The Texans have a tendency to play close games. So give me the Jets plus the 7.5, the Texans plus the 10.5 in the teaseration.
What did you say the spread was on the Dallas-Detroit game, Mike?
We opened at 6 yesterday afternoon. They bet it down to 4.5.
Okay.
That would triple?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
We posted it not knowing, but the assumption was it was Driscoll.
Right. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. They wouldn't be favored by that much. Yes.
Right.
But the fact that they're betting it down to 4.5 means that people are hoping for Stafford in that game.
Right. They're taking out that they can get Stafford with the 6 and the 5. You know.
What would you say? Because it's interesting to me, Mike. What was the philosophy there at Circa about posting that?
Well, we feel like we're giving away too many days of action when we wait till Saturday to post these games, and we want to create the action. I mean, the last time we did it was the Vikings and the Chiefs, and if Mahomes doesn't play, we took all that action and went all the way from 2.5 one way to 5.5 the other, and we collected every bet. So
you sure did.
We want to keep writing.
Yeah.
Look, Jesus, God, Lindemann, and that other guy, they know what they're doing.
They'd have released their power rankings before the committee, that we might have a different poll right now.
Let me just repeat what Todd is referring to is an exchange on a numbers game yesterday where Todd tried to use his incredible brain power to use logic that he felt was better than everybody else's. He asked a question, what would the spread be if Alabama played LSU? I believe that was the game you referred to.
No, Georgia.
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 Right. And Todd was expecting to get an answer like, oh, Georgia would be favored. Instead, he got the answer that Alabama was favored by 4 by Matt Lindemann and Matt Metcalf over there at Circa.
And then, God.
And then Todd backed into a corner, realizing he just got beat at his own game and looked like an ass, decided to call them Jesus and God. Is that a good recap, Todd?
Oh, the only last part is that Chris Felica, who I consider the true God, the true God of the college football world, agrees with me!
Has nothing to do with what you asked and the logic you were trying to give. You said who would make the line, and we have an actual line. Chris is not making a line, so you lose. Sorry.
All right. Should be making lines.
What's that?
Ahead of those guys.
I'm sorry, what?
Nothing. I'm just kidding around.
Okay. Final two questions, gentlemen. Sorry, Mike Lamborn, that you had to sit through all that. Apologize.
I love listening to you guys. You guys are great.
Okay, here's the final two questions. Which of the big favorites, in your opinion, is the most likely to lose outright this week in the National Football League? Minnesota, 10.5-point favorites at home against the Denver Broncos. San Francisco, 10-point favorites at home against the Arizona Cardinals. 10.5, somewhere in there. Oakland, 10.5-point favorites at home against the Cincinnati Bengals. And we'll throw in the three that are 6 or 6.5, just to make it interesting. Buffalo, 6-point favorites on the road against Miami. New Orleans, 6-point favorites on the road against Tampa Bay. And Sunday night, the Rams, 6.5-point favorites at home against the Chicago Bears. Michael Lamborn, which of those is the most likely to lose outright?
I'm looking at this Denver-Minnesota game. We run one of the models, the early play efficiency model, and last week Mark took the Miami Dolphins at plus 480 based on that early play efficiency model. I don't know if he'll be on Denver in this spot. We record that on Friday, but our model does give a slight lean to Denver, and then if you believe in this sort of thing, the Vikings coming off a big win, the Broncos off a bye should be a bit of an advantage there as well. So I'm staying away from Minnesota there.
Oh, and that's not a stay away. We're asking, like, which of those big favorites is the most likely to lose outright?
Sorry, Minnesota. I think Minnesota has a shot to go down.
Okay. See, this is the thing with Mike Lamborn. He does not play by anybody's rules. He just answers whatever he wants to answer. Mike Palm.
You know what? I'm going to go with New Orleans. How much of an outlier can this be that a team that had zero defense the whole year in Atlanta was able to just beat the hell out of Drew Brees, sack him 7 times. If another team with no defenses, Todd, would say the Bucs can do that, then they're very susceptible. I thought that was the most shocking result of the year, and I'm still bothered by that, and I can't find myself supporting Fanny Pack Vic. So I'm going to go with the Saints.
Yeah, I mean, my thing here is, so I just gave you three games that were 10 or 10 and a half and three games that were 6 or 6 and a half. So obviously you want to gravitate towards the 6 and the 6 and a half just by instinct. But I will say this about all three of those games that are 6 or 6 and a half. I could see Miami beating Buffalo outright. I could see Tampa Bay beating New Orleans outright. And I could absolutely see Chicago beating the Rams outright. Like those, just based on that thought alone, those ought to be three against the spread picks for me. Really, I'm just sort of talking myself into it as we speak. But if you're asking me to pick one of them, I will say that it's the
Miami Dolphins.
No, I'm going to say
Miami Dolphins.
No.
Miami Dolphins number one.
We all had to live through that together. I'm gonna agree with Mike Palm. I think it's Tampa Bay with a slight edge. I think it's New Orleans. New Orleans is the big favorite, most likely to lose outright, with a slight edge over both Buffalo and the Rams. The Rams, I'd love to pick Chicago there to win it outright, but there's Trubisky in that Bears offense, so that's bothersome. With Buffalo and Miami, I could see Miami totally covering, but it's like Miami to win outright. I mean, that's never fun. But Tampa Bay, they're as volatile as they come, as you talked about earlier, Todd. So I'd say that's the one.
I go with the Miami Dolphins. I just did their song for you. And the reason I do it is they were on the road at Buffalo up 14-9 on the 2-yard line late in the third quarter to go up 21-9. They probably win the game. They didn't, but I don't see any reason why they can't beat the Buffalo Bills at home. You know, Buffalo is what Buffalo is. They're mediocre. So I think Miami's the most likely. And I don't see the Saints laying 2 eggs in a row.
All right, Michael Lambord, which of these games do you want no part of whatsoever? We live in a strange, bizarre world where you had to pick a side and bet a side on each of these pre-flop. What's the one you wouldn't bet on?
Yeah, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, based on the Drew Brees situation, not sure what version we're getting. I'm going to stay away from that game.
Mike Palm?
I'm going to go with the Dallas game simply because we don't know Stafford's status. And if we did, I would still look to probably back the Lions here if we did. I'm down on the Cowboys. I think they're an 8-8 team, and I agree with you, Gil. Philadelphia is very live to have a 3 or 4 seed.
Yep, I'm with it. I know this is strange that I would answer this for both questions, but it's New Orleans-Tampa Bay for me because that game could go any possible way. I think Tampa Bay +6 is going to be a pick for me. Could I see New Orleans beating them by 20? Yeah, that wouldn't be the strangest thing in the world either. But I could see Tampa Bay winning it easily outright. And I think I'm with you, Michael Lambourne, where I don't know what version of Drew Brees we're getting. Keep in mind, last year, before the whole Rams-Saints postseason game took all the headlines away and we were focused on the bad refereeing in that game, Drew Brees was kind of sucky at football. So that's my pick there as well. Todd, finishing it off.
Hi, you know what? I'm going to go with Mike Palm's call. How do you know what's going to happen in Detroit? You don't know who the quarterback is. It seems very fishy, the whole thing. But I also agree with Mike. I don't think the Cowboys are any good. So I'll pretty much go with exactly Mike's answer on that one.
All right, boys, we've done all we can do. Michael Lambourne from Clear Data Sports. Thank you, Michael, producer number one, numbers game.
All right, thanks, Gil.
Thank you. Mike Palm, en route to a meeting, walking us through Circa Sports here by Skype video. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. Todd Wishneff, thank you as well.
Yes, and nice to meet you, Mike from VEASAN.
You as well.
Good luck with all your bets this weekend in the National Football League, Week 11. Thank you so much for listening.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.